live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, there's been criticism of John Downey's arrest in Donegal, with local councillor Micheál Colmogill-Osbagh claiming Gardaí acted at the behest of the PSNI. The reopening of the short-stay ward at Letterkenny University Hospital is under the spotlight again, as new figures reveal over 15,000 people were awaiting a first appointment at a consultant-led clinic at the hospital as of the end of September. There's fresh concern over safety issues on the main Letterkenny to Derry road following a crash there this morning. And construction is due to commence on the A5 upgrade next autumn. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, a 66-year-old man arrested in Donegal yesterday is appearing before the High Court in Dublin today as part of an investigation into the murder of two members of the UUDR in County Fermanagh in 1972. John Downey was arrested in Donegal yesterday and the PSNI want to extradite him to the north for questioning. There's been criticism of John Downey's arrest in the county. Councillor Micheál Colmogill-Osbagh claims Gardaí acted at the behest of the PSNI. He says he'll be raising the issue with Minister Joe McHugh and also with Junior Minister David Stanton, who's due in Donegal later this week. Meanwhile, Deputy Piers Doherty says the letter received by Mr Downey is valid and all-encompassing, and that's been upheld by courts in the UK.
The issuing of an extradition warrant is wrong. We know that John was arrested before by the British authorities despite having assurances that he wasn't sought for questioning in relation to any incident. And this was tested in the British courts. It was found that the authorities were guilty of a breach of process, and the British government and authorities should respect that outcome, and John should be released.
The argument that's being made is these are separate incidents to those that were covered by the original letter of comfort, so-called. You don't accept that?
Not at all. It's no coincidence that this is happening at a time when the British authorities are looking for an amnesty for their own British soldiers who were involved in conflict in the north and have failed to secure that amnesty. It's very clear at that time that the letter of assurance that John Downey had was one which stated clearly that he was not sought in relation to any jurisdiction for questioning, and that has, as I said, 4 years ago been tested in the courts and has proven that the British authorities were in breach of process at that time. John has been living openly in Donegal for many, many years, and a very important person who supports the peace process and has done a huge amount of work to ensure that the peace process has been cemented and bedded down for nearly two decades now, and I think that this is vindictive to say the least.
And an update just in from the High Court says a 66-year-old John Downey intends to fight his attempted extradition and he's due to apply for bail on Thursday. He was remanded in custody until then. A row has erupted in the Dáil between the Taoiseach and the Sinn Féin leader over Brexit. It stems from Leo Varadkar saying he'd be open to a review clause being included in the backstop agreement to avoid a hard border with Northern Ireland. Our political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
What started as an olive branch to Theresa May has led to a political ding-dong in the Dáil. Mary Lou McDonald dismissed the Taoiseach's openness to allow the backstop agreement that would avoid a hard border with the North to have a review clause in it.
I think that your announcement yesterday was a cock-up, plain and simple.
Leo Varadkar was none too plussed.
But I have to say, Deputy McDonald, I think it is a very good thing that you're not leading these negotiations. You hold the world record for failing to negotiate a coalition agreement in Northern Ireland. You're too extreme, you're too uncompromising, you're too bullying.
The Sinn Féin leader biting back.
You accuse me of being too radical. Ouch. And apparently being a bully. Ouch, ouch. You have taken your eye off the ball or you have lost your nerve.
While the Taoiseach said he signed up to no deal yet.
It is not something that I've committed to. It's only something that the government has agreed to explore.
This all unfolded as the British Cabinet met this afternoon with no clear end to the impasse over Brexit in sight. Sean Defoe, Leinster House.
The reopening of the short-stay ward at Letterkenny University Hospital is under the spotlight again as new figures reveal over 15,000 people were awaiting a first appointment at a consultant-led clinic at the hospital as of the end of September. Latest figures from the National Treatment Purchase Fund show that there has been a 20% increase in the number of patients waiting on a first appointment at a consultant-led clinic since 2016. Donegal Senator Padraig McLaughlin says long-term waiting lists remain unacceptably high, with 2,692 patients on outpatient waiting lists at the hospital for over 18 months. He says there have been vague promises of investment, but it's now time for immediate action.
The day after the budget, Minister Joe McHugh confirmed that the Minister for Health, Simon Harris, had given the go-ahead for the reopening of the 20-bed short-stay ward in Letterkenny, and indeed that Minister McHugh had spoken to the manager of the hospital, Sean Murphy, and advised him to commence the recruitment process. But my colleague, Piers Doherty, has sought written confirmation from the HSE, clear timescales, and we haven't received that. Now, obviously, that would go a very long way to reducing the impact on the emergency ward, which means then that people can get operations. We know Dr. O'Rourke has raised serious concerns around orthopaedic operations being delayed again and again. So everything has a knock-on effect, and hopefully if we can get the short-stay ward reopened as soon as possible, we can start to address these delays.
The really concerning thing is, though, that we know the slow pace at which recruitment works, so that even if the adverts for new staff begin appearing, it could be months before we actually see that knock-on effect really start to take hold.
Oh, indeed. I mean, we've lost a year. The hospital applied last year for the reopening of the ward. We need this resolve confirmed as soon as possible. Of course, it will take probably a period of months at least to recruit the necessary staff. So we need this addressed. The other issue is the issue of community hospitals. We need to reopen beds in community hospitals across the county also. So there's a whole range of investment required here, and we need clarification and confirmation as soon as possible.
Meanwhile, nurses are to vote on whether they want to engage in all-out strike action in a row over pay and staffing. If passed, nurses and midwives would walk off the job for 24 hours and only provide emergency care. President of the Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation, Martina Harkin-Kelly, says the government has left them with no option.
We have been forced down this path by government, and we always, as nurses and midwives, consider our patients' safety and the current risk that our patients that we care for within the health service are currently at this juncture and point in time.
Construction is due to commence on the A5 upgrade next autumn. The Department of Infrastructure in Northern Ireland has confirmed its commitment to the project, saying funds remain ring-fenced. Westron MLA Daniel McCrossan says he's hopeful that the project will progress in the timeline outlined despite an ongoing objection to the plans.
Given that we've faced so many objections, particularly from that very small group objectors that live along the A5, I was concerned about the time frame. So they reassured us that they're hoping to have the machinery on site and ready to go by autumn 2019, which is very reassuring to hear that the department is steaming ahead to see this delivered, and also that they're preparing regardless of what is happening with this objection. They feel that everything will work out quite well.
Now, you have touched on the ongoing and numerous delays that this project has faced in the past. I'm sure you're cautioning the department over any more future delays.
Well, obviously the legal challenges are beyond the control of the department, and I have to say that I am praising the department today because they have dotted every I and crossed every T as far as I'm concerned in trying to ensure that this project will go through in its entirety, and they're prepared for every eventuality and any challenge that may come. That obviously doesn't stop that small group of individuals from trying to derail this vital roads project, and it's something that has added huge frustration in the public domain, that a small group of people would do this and cost the taxpayer an unbelievable amount of money in paying for these continued delays. The road will happen. The delay tactics by a small group is not going to succeed, and it's high time that they started to realise that they're not going to halt the progress.
There's fresh concern over safety issues on the main Letterkenny to Derry Road following a crash there this morning. The minor two-car collision happened shortly after 7 a.m. on the Derry side of Manor Cunningham, which resulted in huge delays during rush hour. Local councillor Paul Canning says that particular stretch of road has been subject to a high number of collisions over the years. He says despite it being a national primary road, it's situated in a heavily populated area and is calling on motorists to slow down.
At that time in the morning, there's a lot of traffic on it, so I'll be asking motorists to, if they have an alternative route, to use that alternative route because it will be delays. Also, there is the Maharabeg School that has got a lot of news in recent years in relation to the traffic management there. So I would ask people to drive with caution on that national primary road.
Causeway Coast and Glens council worker has been killed in Limavady. 51-year-old John Winton, who was also a local fireman, was hit by the bin lorry he was working on at Mount Eden. It happened at around 7:30 this morning. The North Health and Safety Executive is investigating. It's hoped the newly launched Carndonagh Business Alert Scheme can pave the way for other towns and villages in Donegal to adopt a similar initiative. The Carndonagh Scheme was set up following an extensive spate of break-ins in the town over a year ago, with businesses in the area particularly targeted. Councillor Martin McDermott says the initiative is something that would act well as a deterrent in other parts of the county.
When you see that there is a business watch or a community watch or a community alert in the areas, it is a deterrent to people that are going to do crime or do burglary or do shoplifting from shops and things like that. So, you know, it's a text alert system and it's run by the group themselves. The Gardaí are there to facilitate. So it's very, very important and, you know, it's a great step and hopefully other communities will follow the footsteps of the traders in Carndonagh and do the same thing.
Abortions could be carried out by medical professionals who aren't doctors. Several members of the Oireachtas Health Committee are calling for nurses and midwives to be included in new laws to regulate terminations following last May's referendum. The committee is debating 180 amendments to the proposed regulation of termination of pregnancy bill. Independent TD Peter Fitzpatrick is concerned people who aren't doctors could be allowed to provide abortion services.
Literally anyone in the health service to carry an abortion, I don't think that's been fair. I think women do deserve the best medical care and I think they should be the best people to give the service. I was mentioned in the committee about not caring for women. I think if we go ahead with this here and allow anybody in the health services to do this here, I think it'd be a grave mistake.
A Donegal councillor is welcoming confirmation that the National Lyme Disease Resource Centre will open in Dublin this month. Over the past 18 months, councillors have been regularly lobbied on the issue by a local support group, with Donegal County Council last year backing calls for more resources to be dedicated to the condition. Paying tribute to Emma Doherty, Charles Harkin and other local campaigners, Councillor Albert Doherty believes the support of local authorities helped the momentum which has led to this specialist centre.
We've had groups at our municipal in Inishowen and a presentation also to our full plenary council from affected and concerned groups, very active now in Donegal, with a particular qualm that there didn't seem to be access for treatment in the country. And I'm glad now that this matter has been resolved with the Lyme Resource Centre to open this month in the Mater Hospital under the remit of a Dr. Jack Lambert.
Now, we know that there is some medical debate about the precise nature and scope of Lyme disease. Hopefully, the opening of this centre will help to bring some clarity to people who are suffering.
Very much so, yes. I believe that the cases that do exist are being underestimated. I do believe that there is an issue maybe with diagnosis. However, I also hope now that it can allay the fears and reservations that we have something nationally that families and affected parties can turn to. It's very welcome. I think the council still have a role of awareness, a role of signage. But when I think locally of directly affected people like Emma and Charles, you know, I thank them and I hope this is some consolation for their efforts.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Track your daily fitness with a Fitbit or Garmin tracker from michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's now 16 minutes past 5 and time for the latest sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We'll start with some Gaelic games, and Highland Radio Sport has learned this evening that Gwydor and Donegal have been dealt a major injury blow with the news that Kieran Gillespie suffered a cruciate injury in the Ulster Club Championship game last Sunday in Belfast. It happened in the open seconds of the quarter-final victory over Carrigan, and after 5 minutes of treatment on the pitch, he was stretchered off. Gwydor were hopeful that the injury wasn't as serious as first thought, but the dreaded cruciate ligament was confirmed following a scan. Just like Patrick McBurdy, who's recovering from the same ACL injury, Gillespie can expect to be out of action for around 9 months. It's another cruel blow for the Mahara Gallant centre-back, who's been unlucky in recent years. He spent a lot of time on a treatment table with hamstring and hip injuries. So disappointing news there. Moving on to soccer, and captain Seamus Coleman and Burnley midfielder Robbie Brady are back in the Republic of Ireland squad. Both returned from injury to be included in Martin O'Neill's 36-man squad for the Nations League trip to Denmark and the friendly with Northern Ireland. Former Derry City player Ronan Curtis is included again, while manager Martin O'Neill confirmed that Dundalk's former Northern Ireland under-21 winger Michael Duffy has switched his allegiance to Republic of Ireland, but his paperwork hasn't cleared in time. Southampton teenage striker Michael Obafemi earns a first call-up, as does Liverpool goalkeeper Kevin Kelleher. Rotherham's on loan Ryan Manning also makes the cut, as does Hearts' Jimmy Dunn, who's currently on loan from Burnley. There's still no Declan Rice as he continues to mull over a switch to England, but O'Neill continues to be hopeful the West Ham teenager will remain in green. But despite 29 goals in the SSE Artricity Premier Division, there's no room for Dundalk's Pat Hoban. Dundalk says the exclusion of Hoban doesn't show an anti-League of Ireland bias on his part.
A lot of skillful players. Young Duffy is as skillful as any player that you're likely to see playing in the League of Ireland. Really good ability. So it'd be nice to see the paperwork coming through and incorporating him. I just didn't ask him would he fancy coming over. Hopefully he can do it. I think he's got a chance, like anything else, you know. But some players have to do a little bit more.
Martin O'Neill there. Well, Kevin Kelleher, he's in Liverpool's squad for this evening's Champions League trip to Red Star Belgrade. A win for Jurgen Klopp's side tonight would see them take a massive step towards the last 16. Kick-off at the Maracana is at 5:55, 5:56, which is about a half an hour's time away. Elsewhere, Spurs' slim hopes of a place in the knockout phase could end tonight. The defeat to PSV Eindhoven at Wembley will condemn Spurs to third at best in Group B. The top two in that group meet at the San Siro, with Inter hosting Barcelona. Elsewhere, Manchester City are again at the centre of questions over their financial conduct. German publication Der Spiegel claims that City have channeled millions of their owner Sheikh Mansour's money into the club via Abu Dhabi-based sponsors. It's the second article in a week that suggests City were engaging in tactics to avoid stringent financial fair play rules. City have described the articles as being based on out-of-context materials purportedly hacked or stolen from the club. Back home, Dan Casey has signed for League and Cup runners-up Cork City. The versatile defender has spent the last 18 months at Bohemians, playing 30 league games in the season just end. Casey signed a 2-year contract at Turner's Cross. And another man leaving Bowes is midfielder Ian Morris. He's been appointed the new manager of First Division side Shelburne. The 31-year-old has been head of youth development at Bohemians, whose underage sides have been extremely successful of late. Morris replaces Owen Heary in the Tolka Park dugout. Completing a trio of Daly Mount departures is Daniel Byrne, who leaves after 7 years with the club. In third year's colleges action today, the Rustlers Cup was played, a game today. LYIT, they caused an upset in Letterkenny today when they defeated Carlow IT by 2-1. Shane Burns' team fell behind to a goal by Shane Barnes after 4 minutes, but the sides were level when Sean McBride equalised after 7 minutes. They were level at half time, and midway through the second half, Connor Gormley got the winner from the penalty spot after Liam Walsh was taken down. Letterkenny are next in action when they play in the league against Tala IT next week. In rugby, Rob Kearney is only rated as 50-50 for Saturday's test with Argentina at the Aviva. The fullback still receiving treatment from a shoulder complaint and was facing further reviews this afternoon. Should he be ruled out, it would open the door for Chicago hat-trick hero Jordan Larimer to continue in the number 15 jersey against the Pumas. Leinster back row Dan Levy and Munster's Sammy Arnold and John Ryan are yet to rejoin the squad, having travelled to South Africa with their provinces last weekend. Finally, England, they'll be without Tom Curry for the rest of the autumn international campaign. The flanker picked up an ankle injury in their opening win over South Africa at Twickenham on Saturday, but Courtney Laws and Manu Tuilagi have been passed fit to face the All Blacks this weekend. Well, that's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And returning to some news, Donegal County Council's road safety team has been awarded the Excellence in Business Award by the Public Sector Magazine for the fourth year in a row. The annual Excellence in Business Awards recognises companies and organisations that have demonstrated outstanding service, continuity, track record and general excellence in business to the public sector, Irish companies and to the people of Ireland. Donegal County Council was acknowledged for their work in road safety, particularly the Safer Cycling Initiative, which promoted cycling safety by distributing high-vis gilets to cyclists. Donegal Road Safety Officer is Brian O'Donnell.
The Wired again acknowledges the work being done by the Donegal Road Safety Working Group and all stakeholders within the group. And it's probably the award was really for the cycling safety, safe cycling initiative we launched earlier in the year, whereby we tried to get cyclists to wear high-vis gilets to keep them safe, basically, on the road. And nationally, this has been acknowledged as a good idea.
And indeed, this recognition for 4 years in a row, it does show and it does motivate yourselves to keep working hard towards this.
Oh, definitely. So you don't really need much motivation, obviously, for road safety, because there is dangers out there every day of the week on a road, and we're constantly trying to highlight the dangers to all road users. And we can't become complacent. We need to get the message out there. There is danger all the time. It's probably, I keep saying this, it's probably the most dangerous thing we do on a daily basis. But this time of the year now, especially, we're coming up to a bad time of the year, darker evenings, and we just want to keep everybody safe. If pedestrians, walkers, cyclists out there wear high-vis clothes and make themselves visible, and for motorists to slow down and use just the headlights at all times.
For weather now, cloudy and misty with outbreaks of rain today, less windy and more showery weather will follow from the west this evening with top temperatures of 11 or 12 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, suspected IRA bomber John Downey has appeared before the High Court following his arrest in Donegal on foot of a European arrest warrant. The court heard the 66-year-old intends to fight his attempted extradition and he's due to apply for bail on Thursday. The reopening of the short-stay ward at Letterkenny University Hospital is under the spotlight once again, as new figures reveal over 15,000 people were awaiting a first appointment at a consultant-led clinic at the hospital as of the end of September. Donegal Senator Padraig McLaughlin says long-term waiting lists remain unacceptably high, with 2,692 patients also on outpatient waiting lists at the hospital for over 18 months. Construction is due to commence on the A5 upgrade next autumn. The Department of Infrastructure Northern Ireland has confirmed its commitment to the project, saying funds remain ring-fenced. And a Causeway Coast and Glens council worker has been killed in Limavady. 51-year-old John Winton, who was also a local fireman, was hit by the bin lorry he was working on at Mount Eden. It happened at around 7:30 this morning. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, HighlandRadio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Tuesday evening, the 6th of November. The death has taken place of Seamus McDermott, 4 Melvin View, Strabane. His remains will repose at his home from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Thursday morning at 9:15 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Foyle Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Charlie Doherty, Ray Mockey, Manor Cunningham. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there on Thursday morning at 10:30, going to St. Columbus Church, Drumahl, for 11 o'clock funeral mass. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to St. Eunan's Nursing Home Comfort Fund, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Kevin McGovern, 17, Ardmacool, Stranorlar. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there on Thursday afternoon at 1:30 for Requiem Mass at 2 o'clock in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorlar, with interment afterwards in Stranorlar Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to the Wheelchair Association, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Nora Friel, Whitethorn Grove, Gortlea, Letterkenny. Her remains are reposing at her parental home at Umla, Carrigart. Funeral from there on Thursday morning to the Church of St. John the Baptist for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with interment in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Michael Heveron, RIBA, 56 Hatmore Park, Derry, and formerly of Strabam. His remains will repose at his home from 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Funeral from there on Thursday evening at 5:45 for Requiem Mass in St. Eugene's Cathedral at 7:30. Interment in Strabane Cemetery on Friday morning at 10:30. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the MS Society, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Barry Gallagher, Monfad, Newton Cunningham. His remains are reposing at the family home. Funeral on Thursday morning, leaving his home at 11 o'clock to All Saints Church, Newton Cunningham, for Requiem Mass at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. And the death has occurred of Patsy Hamilton, 26 McNeely Villas, Old Town, Letterkenny. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock in St. Eunan's Cathedral, with burial afterwards in Conwell Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the dialysis ward, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member, or Con MacDaid & Sons Funeral Directors.